a contest involved. Here's ping pong players going at it. But God has destroyed our enemy, or defeated our enemy, and he's released us to love. And that is really the method, the message and the theme here, taken from Gospel of John. We're going to have Kaz come up and read that in a few moments. But first of all, let's stop and pause and think about this a moment. I talked last week about overcoming fear, that our faith is bigger than fear. We can overcome it. And we also believe that there is no fear in love. Love throws out fear. So our faith and love in God helps us to overcome our fears. But we must truly also, to really embrace this, we need to understand the power of God working on our behalf. See the power of God and really recognize that it's a power that is supreme. It's the power of God that he releases into our lives so that we can live on his behalf, that no matter what, we will not be overcome by any darkness at all or force in opposition to us. The light shines in the darkness. The darkness has not overcome it. John 1:5. We're going to read that in a moment. God has freed us, and he's freed us by doing this. All my sins have been forgiven. I know God because I am redeemed, and by God's strength in me, I have overcome the power of darkness in my life and the power of darkness in the world. And God has redeemed us to become kings and priests serving our Lord Jesus Christ in the world. We are released to be his kingdom, and we're released to be his servants who serve the worship of the holy God, as we are doing with the singing of the young adults, as we do as we sing together, as we're doing as we're being disciples and students of the Word of God by studying it here. This kingdom of God is an interesting place. What does it mean to be in the kingdom of God? What does it mean? How do we really have this has an impact on our life? Well, in the kingdom of God, we operate with divine love and grace. His divine love and grace is built into us and built into our faith, and this we must pour out onto the world. That love and grace, God has empowered us to pour out onto the world. And we cannot retreat into any kind of fear, but we must move on forward in trust. And whether we're fearful of the potent enemy that we face, such as here's the depiction of the curse, you know. God speaks this to the serpent. He shall trample on your head, but you shall bite his heel. And that's a picture of Jesus being crucified. But in the crucifixion, he's victorious. So there's no fear of Satan, no fear of the devil, our opposition. And because God helps us to be empowered to overthrow fear. And this is a great picture of smashing fear into bits, you know. But it's overcoming the anxiety that we hear, that we have. People wrestle with anxieties all the time. So it's a real thing. But our Lord promises to be with us and help us to operate with confidence because of our faith. I showed this slide last week, actually, about a confident faith. And this is really a message we need to continue to embrace and deepen. Because darkness cannot overcome us, and nor can the gates of Hades prevail, because our Lord is with us, and Christ is King. Let us pray for a moment. Dear Lord, we are seeking to understand your word, to live according to your word, to be obedient to it, Lord, to be servants and disciples of the word of God, so we can spread it and share it and help others to see who Jesus really is. Thank you, Lord, that some of the members of our church are able to help some visitors from the Philippines see that Jesus Christ is King, and he is their Lord, and their Redeemer, and their Savior, saving them from their sins. We are grateful for that testimony. And we are praying, Lord, that you may continue to build your testimony into our lives, that we will experience that sense of being resilient and strong, that in the face of darkness, your light shines and cannot be extinguished. Let us listen now to the word of God. Amen. Kaz will come up and read this text for us. Thanks.
John chapter 1, verses 1 to 18. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and through the world was made through him. The world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or of husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him. He cried out, saying, "This is the one I spoke about when I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me.' Out of his fullness we have all received grace in place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth became through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known."
The reading of God's word. Thanks be to him. Good. The passage, I want to just remind you, says the logos. It's a big idea, the word, logos. In the Greek thought, it was a big concept of what governs and rules the world, what makes the world make sense. It's divine. The logos is divine. Jesus is the key to creation. Creation wouldn't happen without Jesus Christ. He's the key and the center of it. And he's the key to life, both life that we have as natural life and our life in God, in the Spirit. And he's unstoppable. Unstoppable. The darkness cannot extinguish him. His will shall be done. Just a quick summary of the text we just read. And the verse I'm highlighting is, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." So that is just a powerful truth, because this means that the earth is a contested turf. There's a conflict. This I took from it's a game name, I guess, Earth Conflict. But it made sense. It made sense. Show the picture of the world. It's a turf in contest. So I put all those contests up: ping pong and tennis and football and soccer, and there's a contest going on between the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. And God is himself contending with Satan or the devil for jurisdiction over the earth. And he wants hearts of men and women like you and I to be freely given to him. This is a quotation actually from John Calvin. It simply says, "My heart I give to you, O Lord, promptly and sincerely." It's actually the motto of Calvin University. I used to go to Calvin College, but they call it a university. And it's a beautiful, simple testimony of how we give our heart to the Lord. It's what he's asking for. And the medium by which God is conducting his campaign of conquest is by faith and trust. Our faith in God is critical to God's carrying on his battle with the kingdom of darkness, of contending with Satan and the devil. And we have to yield and surrender to the Lord in order to achieve this accomplishing. And that's our faith, our trust. We have to surrender to God and in yielding and surrendering our will to Him, by our willing partnership with a God of grace and glory, then He is able to accomplish His goal. God asks us to pledge our loyalty and conscience to Him from now into eternity. He wants us to offer ourselves up into Him who shines His light into our hearts, banishes all darkness, and then we become light bearers and light givers to the world. We are a people of faith. We are a people who trust. We are a people who are yielded, and we are surrendered. God provides these things to help us on our way. He provides us His grace. His amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. His grace is given to us in abundance. And He gives us His Word. The Word of God is given to us as a powerful tool to reveal Himself to us. And we must believe and trust in this Word as His revelation of His will and of His kingdom of light. And He gives us the Messiah, our Lord Jesus. He sent His Messiah into the world as He promised He would. And He has come and accomplished His work. And He's released His power in our lives to help us. And He fills us with His love above every other thing. So that we may surrender to the fact that we are, even though we are sinners for God, Holy God, we are reconciled with Him. We who are sinful and unworthy are made worthy by the Lord's work and reconciled to Him so that we are then in partnership with Him. And we are now sinners who can exalt in His holy presence and promise to live forever for God. And we put God then in our driver's seat. How do I give God all the control? You surrender and yield yourself to Him. You trust Him in everything. Faith. It's how God is driving forward His campaign, His kingdom. Because in our own selves, we bear the penalty of death. Genesis 2:17 says, "You must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for in the day that you eat of it, you will surely die." Death is a reality for us. And it seems terribly cruel that we would live so long and then die. That people can be full of faith and then be gone. People can be full of knowledge. They can be experts, doctors and surgeons, billionaires, heads of government, royalty. Anyone you can imagine, we're all subject to the same penalty, death. The reality of looming death seems to remind us that we are like grass. We can be here today and gone tomorrow. In our verse in 1 Peter 1, and it's also in the Psalms, all people are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers, and the flowers fall. That is what we face. But the big but, is our Jesus has brought us life. A life that is overflowing here and now, like the cup in Psalm 23. You remember about that? My cup overflows. It's overflowing with God's blessing because Jesus Christ has brought us life. And it's eternal. In other words, it surpasses the penalty of death. It brings us beyond that penalty of death into eternal life. To truly deliver the victory over death, He's given us life in Jesus Christ. The gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. And this releases us from the cold hand of death, overcoming the powerful effect that Satan has of imposing the fear of death. We've been given victory. We needed a deliverer. We needed a conqueror. We needed our Savior who has light to give to anyone who receives it in faith. Jesus came to free us from the fear of death because He has been raised from the dead. He is our resurrected Lord. And he has light to give, light which powers over the darkness, which drives it out, which consumes it, which burns it up, which makes it retreat and be gone. We must receive the light in faith. We must receive the light in trust, be yielded to the Lord. Part of the mystery of the passage we were just reading is the rejection of the promised Messiah by those who are supposed to receive him. Verse 11, it says, he came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. They were in the grip of darkness, and the light didn't penetrate. And it can happen. We can find that happens. Darkness brings pain and suffering. There are people who refer to, you know, poets and other writers, this is a world of pain. This is a world in which we do experience suffering. But in the midst of it, we are promised that God will lead us by his light to overcome the darkness. Some of the ways this has been brought home to us is by people who are remembering the Holocaust. I don't know, there's still some survivors, very few, but there was just something writing I read today about a 12-year-old who survived the Holocaust with his mother and came through the death camps and came through experiences that were so dark and were so consumed by evil. You thought no way would light triumph, but it did. It came to drive it away. So in this victory over darkness, our Lord Jesus Christ... Sorry, that's the no of the people who reject him, who are not ready to accept him. And we see that no, it happens. But in our Lord Jesus, in him alone, is their victory. And because he has done his work on the cross, he has been granted the right to designate who is a newborn child of God. And it is through and by and because of Jesus that we belong to the kingdom of God, the kingdom of light, which is driving away and overcoming the kingdom of darkness. Our Lord Jesus is the difference. He is the one whom we depend on to be our victor, to be our redeemer. Satan, or the devil, or the ancient serpent, the dragon, these are all the same designations for the one who opposes God in establishing his kingdom and his work of bringing new life to the sons and daughters of Adam. Satan is adamantly opposed to what God is wanting to do, bringing new life to us, bringing new life to his world. He doesn't want it to happen. He seeks to break any relationship we have with God if he can. I know that our adult Bible study in the morning is starting up the study of the book of Job. Who is Job? Job is a man who has a heart for God. He is blameless and he shuns all evil. God says, here, look at my servant Job. He is worthy. He is worthy of me because he serves me. And Satan says, no, he only serves you because he's doing well. He's no real... Now, calamity comes into his life and Job passes the first test, losing all his property and his family. But then God gives Satan permission to bring great suffering upon Job, physical suffering. And what does Job do? He remains blameless and he shuns evil and he's true to God. He wrestles. There's temptation and he does not follow it. Satan wants to pressure him to lose his faith. He wants to give him all the grief he possibly can to make him surrender. And Job doesn't. He stays with God, wrestles with God, and in the end, he confesses God at the end of the book of Job. Satan wants to lead us astray. We are in a spiritual warfare. That is what our life of faith is about in this world. Are you ready for the battle? Are you ready for the contest? Are you ready to get into the ring and be a champion for Jesus? To be a faithful servant of his? To be a witness? To be a testimony for him? Satan covets your worship, and he tries to distract us and deceive us in any way he can. He got Jesus up on the mountain, and he said to him, in his temptation to Jesus, he said, look, I have all the kingdoms of the world. They've been surrendered to me because of corruption, because of the darkness in human hearts, because of power, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. And he says, all you have to do is worship me, and I'll give it to you. And Jesus says, no. Jesus says, no. We worship God and God alone. He's up for the contest. He passes the test where Adam didn't. And so he becomes our righteousness and our salvation. The devil, the ancient serpent, is an actual real enemy. He's not some figment of our imagination. He's real. Anything which keeps us from seeing and knowing that Jesus is Lord is a work or strategy of Satan. He's full of deception. He wants to show us a counterfeit. He wants us to be subject to a hoax, to fabrication, to basic belief. I know that there are people today who will wrestle. Billy Graham, great evangelist. At one point, somebody came to him and said, you know, the Word of God isn't really the Word of God. I had somebody say that to me, a pastor, you know, full pastor of a church, a big church, prominent city pastor. He's coming to me and said, you know, when it says, and God said to Isaiah, you know, go to my people. He says, God didn't really say that. And I said, well, I don't believe that. I believe that God really did say it. You know, and if Billy Graham had to wrestle with this idea, is this really God's word or not? He wrestled with it, and he said, I believe. And he began to preach and proclaim. And his evangelistic ministry around the world was based on the fact that he confessed that this is not a deception, this is not false, not untrue, what Satan would like to plant and say, just manufactured by men. Now you have to say no to that to be able to carry on in faith and trust in the Lord. The strategy of Satan is to try to deceive. He sets traps. He does. Good as a mousetrap. But he sets traps out there that you can fall into. He is like a roaring lion. As 1 Peter says here, be sober and vigilant, okay? So that means don't be wantonly drunk or don't be a drug addict. Be sober. Be alert. Be alive to God. Be alive. Know that he's going to give us life abundantly. So be sober and live. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Satan is putting your faith and trust in God to the test, and he wants to seek to build a wedge between you and God. He wants to lay a trap to ensnare you. He wants you to be tripped up. And so, we must be ready for the contest. Are you ready for the spiritual battle? Are you ready? Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. James 4, verse 7. I was talking to you about a Chamorro guy who was telling me he's worried about the jungle because it's a channel for the spirits to come and attack. My own inner confession at that point, I'm trying to be his friend and try, the first time I ever heard this, you know. I was surprised by it. He's a devout Catholic, but I said, for me, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. All I have to say is, in Jesus Christ, the Lord is stronger than that, and the devil will flee. He will go. You know, you don't need to worry about demons or Satan or anything, because he will flee from you. In your surrendering and yielding to God, for our Lord Jesus Christ has won the battle and the victory, and he has the power to overcome. So in the name of Jesus, he is stronger. But if loving and obeying God is our safe home, Christian safe zone, if this is where we belong, why does he get such a strong role in our lives, Satan, the devil? Well, he's been here a long, long time. C.S. Lewis wrote a book about Screwtape Letters, he called it. And it's about a dialogue between Satan and a person of faith. And he's dialoguing with a senior demon and a junior demon. And they're dialoguing and saying, yeah, this is how you're supposed to trip up this Christian. And working on a stratagem and a strategy. He has this role. He's able to try to conduct his campaign, but he's doing this because he's the preeminent enemy of believers, of those who follow Christ. He hates us. He hated Jesus even more. He's devoted to destroying any vestige in us of faith in God. This is spiritual warfare. Are you ready for the battle? Are you up for the contest? As I said, it is real. This is a picture of Peter and Judas. When Peter stood up and protested Jesus' path to the cross, he was serving Satan and not God. Did that make him possessed? No, he wasn't possessed. He was being tempted. He was being tested. He thought, no, Jesus, you shouldn't go to Jerusalem and you're going to suffer and die there. Jesus goes, that's the point. Get behind me, Satan. Stop protesting and opposing this. Peter also didn't stay true to Jesus when he was on trial. You know, he denied him 3 times and he went out and wept. He was in grief. His intentions were good, but he was being manipulated. His intentions were good, but he was being manipulated in that protesting of Jesus. Jesus also knows what Peter is like. He knows that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. He knows that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And Jesus accepted the fact, and God accepted the fact, that Judas, one of the inner 12 disciples, would collaborate with leaders of God's people and with Satan himself. It says Satan had entered him, and he went out to betray him. And they would spring a trap, coming into the garden in the dark of night with their torches, and they're going to arrest Jesus and take him, put him on trial, and condemn him to death for blasphemy. But it was no trap at all. It was no victory for Satan. But it was Satan's ultimate defeat. He won when he died on the cross. He had victory, and light penetrated the darkness of Hades and hell and all the rest. So yes, Peter and Judas, Peter felt grief, Judas felt torment over this spiritual battle that we're in. But we say to the Lord, you are worthy of all glory, honor, and praise. Because you are the one who delivers us. You are the one to whom we yield. You are the one to whom we surrender. And he is the one who has redeemed us by his blood. And in Revelation, you see the picture of Jesus, and they are all singing this praise song, Lord, you are worthy of all glory and honor and praise, because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. His life, his blood, his death sets us free and secures our place in heaven. We are going to celebrate communion next week. And I'm sorry it's not in the bulletin. Please forgive me, but we are going to celebrate communion next week. Prepare yourself, remembering that his life, his blood, and his death has set us free and overcome the power of darkness and overcome our adversary, our enemy, Satan. He has no ultimate power. If you submit yourself to God, he will flee. If you name Jesus, he is gone. He's out of the way. You see, the Lord God has unleashed an indestructible power of faith and love and grace into the world through our surrendering to Jesus. And this power of love and grace is going to continue to increase in measure. It will grow and it will grow until his kingdom comes and his will is being done. And that is when Jesus returns. That comes in when Jesus returns. And this is unleashed in through the body of Christ, through the church, but it's unleashed through the believer, through everyone who trusts and follows him. We are the ones who are carrying this love and grace into the world. So, believers, go forth and contend for the truth. And never stop defending it. You have confessed that Jesus is your Lord and your Savior. And you have not, we can help you with that. We can help you believe and trust in him. Because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And he knows the way to the Father. And he promises to bring all of those who belong to him to be with the Father forever. He's given us life. And he wants us to have abundant life in this world. He doesn't want us to have a miserable life. He wants us to be able to overcome the challenges, the obstacles, the conflict that comes at us from the kingdom of darkness. And to be victorious. To find a way to navigate past his traps. To find a way to overcome and not allow that wedge to be driven between us and God. May the Lord help us in it. He knows that our flesh is weak, but greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Surrender and submit to him. In his name we pray. Amen. Dear Lord, we come to you to remember that we are defenders of the faith. May we completely surrender to you, Lord, and trust in you for the contest we are in. We are thankful, O Lord, that even though it's real, Satan, the devil, the ancient serpent, Lord, you have promised that you will show and reveal your truth to us as we yield ourselves to you, and the Holy Spirit will continue to inspire us and empower us to confess the name of Jesus Christ simply and truthfully and say that we belong to him, we are his people, and we are following him now and forever. May you help us in this, Lord. May you give us your grace and your love and power, and let us always remember that to you belongs all glory, honor, and praise. Amen.